Year they have an annual men's gathering, like almost every year they have a annual women's gathering. So they split it up into north and southern states. So we just had the northern states men's gathering in Sturgis, Michigan, and it's a Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Went early to connect with some pastors and took Tony and Ryan with me. And of course, being a Chicago native, sort of raised in Chicago area, I had to go by Wrigley Field, even though they lost. Can we have a moment of silence? Okay, that's good. I'm good. Because they did win the World Series before. And so we just went there, and it was just fun. The night before, they lost the last game of their season, and it was pretty glum. It's pretty somber around Wrigley Field the next day. It's just a time I want to have all the guys. We had 27 men of us from here able to go, which was a new record for us. And it was about a 9-hour drive, somewhere in there total, straight 9 hours around through five states. And so we won here. Want to hand me that? We won the award for the most from one church. And this laser etched thing, isn't that cool? Band of Brothers, Sturgis, Michigan, 2018. So one of the guys at the Sturgis location made that, and they just presented that to us. So I'd like all the guys that went to come on up, and we're going to give a testimony of how God spoke to you. This is a wonderful thing that I feel a great conviction. Come on up all the way up behind this podium here and just spread out all the way across. So that's quite the group of guys. And so, amen. So they gave up work time, vacation time, family time to drive 9 hours to a men's conference because they love Jesus, and real men love Jesus. Real men want to serve Jesus and give their lives, not just their Sunday mornings, but their lives to Christ because of Christ giving his life for us. We were asked again, our band was the worship leading band for the last 2 years, and or before this, was it the third year? Is it the third? Third year they were asked, and I don't know if you all know this, worship team, you were asked to come next year, so. Hey, they're going to find out, so sooner the better, plan it, if you can. Huh? And that will be in Crown Point, Indiana.
Check.
October 24th through the 26th. So that's next year's. Check. So men, you know, October 24th.
We'll talk about that, Ben.
End of the month, yeah.
We'll talk about that.
I know. I kind of, it's like. Hey, how did that get here? What? Turn that around. Just put that in there. Much better. No, that's good. That's good. North side. Not south side. Okay, we're equal opportunity. You can put it back, yeah. This is what we learned about forgiveness at the conference, you know. Forgiveness, we can demonstrate that. See how that works. So, also, I was asked to do a breakout session, and then my son, Tony, was asked to do a general session. So, we're really honored that he spoke to all the guys as one of the young men, the generation that God is working through. He needs us all. So I just want to hear from him. I got a microphone here somewhere. You got it? You got it, Tony. Okay. Go ahead, whoever. This is voluntary. You don't have to. Just start it off.
I haven't spoken in front of people in a while. This is crazy. My heart's beating really fast. So I wanted to say thank you to two people. Before we start, I want to say thank you to you, Pastor Steve, for allowing me and every one of us here to come on the trip.
Amen.
You really support everybody here, and that's really meaningful to me and to everybody else here. Very
Amen.
Sure. And then
thank
Tony,
you. You're welcome.
Thank you for asking me to play. It's an honor to serve you and to serve the river and to serve all the men at the conference. So the best thing for me at the conference was not only just hanging out with all my bros. Where's Ryan? Cooking mama. So we were playing this game, all right? And it's a cooking game. And Ryan comes and knocking on the door to Paul, and he goes, can we play this game? And Paul goes, I don't know, Isaiah and Max aren't here. And Ryan goes, oh, it's okay, opens the door. We can play Towerfall. So, but despite that, just the brotherhood and the fellowship and everything going on was great. And that was really meaningful to me. And for instance, I was walking with Pastor Steve because Paul left me at the hotel. So I go and ask Pastor Steve for a ride, and I'm wearing my White Sox hat. And I set it down on the center console, and he goes, you know, you could probably just leave that at the hotel. But despite all of that, I just was really impacted by all the fellowship that I had, because it was just everything that I needed. Just going through a lot of family stuff at home, and just everything going on in the world, it's really important to be supported by people around you and people that care for you and people that love you immensely. You know, and there's just nothing better than the Lord. Mm-hmm. And Him supporting you and Him putting you into a place where you are loved by other people. And this goes for people who aren't being supported by other people. Really try to find some people. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Really try to go out and search for some people, because it's crazy on how impactful one person's input in your life can change. You know, just one simple word of, I love you, I care for you, can really change a person's heart. Mm-hmm. You know, I was dealing with a lot of father issues, and Dr. Ron Johnson was preaching on fatherless. And I go up, and he comes up to me and just goes, I love you. And that was just everything that I needed in that moment, knowing that I had a father right there to love me. But not only that, but I had Jesus. I had God speaking to me in that moment, saying, I love you. I care for you. Mm-hmm. And don't ever isolate yourself, because there is people around you ready to support you, ready to love you, ready to help you keep walking.
Amen.
High River Church. I want to open with a joke, actually. So, I bought a new TV the other day, and I'm really, really bummed at the state of America, because I looked at the TV, and it said built-in antenna. And we don't even manufacture our own TVs anymore. What's that about? I don't even know where antenna is. for those of you who might know, at the beginning of the year this year, 2018, I looked at my wife and I said, this is going to be my year. I was wrong. for those of you who might know me, I'm also a big video game player. And in June of this year, I had intentions of pulling my own plug. I kept a lot of depression and a lot of deep-seated anguish inside, and it all boiled over on a fateful Monday night, and I told my wife, and I ended up in the ER the next day, and I spent 3 days in the hospital. This is really hard to talk about, but one of the sessions, I think Tony preached on it, is bringing things into the light. And this is me bringing this into the light and saying, you know, I come from a family where suicide is our legacy, and that ends with me.
Amen. Yes.
I'm really good with putting up walls and keeping people out, but this is me.
Yeah.
Kicking that down. And if this isn't, I'm not making this about me, but if anyone struggles with anything, bring it to the light.
Yes.
That's the most important thing that I took away from the conference, not concert, is bring it to the light. Even if it's, you know, a little, little itty-bitty thing or a semi-sized anguish, bring it to the light.
That's right. Hallelujah.
Hi, I'm Ed, and I'm probably one of the millers, or one of the millers at Hembers here at the river, my home church. Well, he just shared about the light. That scripture, John 1:5, was on the overhead. And last night when I got here after the as this was being transformed, one of the first panels outside that wall is John 1:5.
Mm-hmm.
And I find it amazing how God works. All the speakers, they said, had not talked about what their talk was, but everything fits.
Yeah.
And when Gina and I started attending here about Thanksgiving time a year ago, we knew this was a spirit-filled church, that people loved Jesus, and that all of us, not just the pastors, are to know our Bible, to know the history, to know what we stand for.
Yeah. Amen.
Tanucci or Pastor Rick, that one guy was here, I forget his name.
Keith Tusi?
No.
Or Rod Aguilar?
No.
Mike Free. There's another one.
I think he's a convict. The convict guy.
Bill Davis well, from Tampa, Florida.
Bill Davis is the only one I've ever met.
Yeah.
But you know, that group at NRP leadership, they're as genuine and authentic and humble as our leadership in this church.
Amen.
And I thank God for that.
Amen.
So I'm blessed. I'm sure Gina is blessed with knowing that the genuine, Christ-centered stuff that happens in this congregation is not just this congregation. We're part of a relationship of pastors and churches that have a heart for Jesus.
Yeah, that's right.
As I reflect, I mean, Keith Hodges beat me up really bad Thursday night, and Pastor Frank Rondon followed, but not quite so brutal. And I might know there's some things that aren't what they should be. I haven't made the choice to do some things.
Mm-hmm.
And the best way I can summarize this is in a story I heard once of a pastor who noticed that a parishioner hadn't been attending church for a while. So he went and made a whole hall. Just walked up unannounced, knocked on the guy's door one evening. The guy said, come on in. And went in and sat in the living room by the fire. They had a fire room in the fireplace. And the pastor sat there with him, and then neither one said a word. They just watching the fire. Pastor gets up and goes over to the fire and picks one of the pieces of wood burning and just sets it off to the side. went back and sits down. Well, that ember starts to die. Mm-hmm. And patches it up. Puts it back in the fire. The guy said, I see you on Sunday, Pastor.
Mm-hmm.
I was that ember. I've never lost my faith, but I was that ember. I was certain that slide away from the fire.
Mm-hmm.
And thanks, guys. I got to know some of you, and I look forward to a life in Christ with brothers and the sisters I haven't met yet.
Amen. Welcome back. Yeah.
Good morning, everybody. Good. Yeah, so if you don't know me, my name is Jason. If you're new to the church, welcome. There was just, a lot of messages that really spoke to me, and I'm sure spoke to all of us when we were at the conference. You know, it's basically two when you put it all together, two full days of just worship and preaching and messages and just impartations, prayers, ministry time. It's a really, really awesome time. If you've never been to a Band of Brothers, I highly suggest going.
Yeah, amen.
Two things I'm just going to quick share because I don't want to take up a lot of time. But one of the workshop sessions was Pastor Doug Allen from Collins Church. Where is he from now?
He moved to Pittsburgh. He was at Collins.
But he did a workshop, and it was about running the right race. And one quote that he's a really funny guy. And then he has jokes, and then he has kind of like really deep spiritual stuff tucked in there. And if you're not paying attention, you're going to miss it. But I was paying attention, and I wrote one down. And I circled it about 10 times in my book. And it says, unanswered prayer is never an accusation of God's integrity, but an invitation to go deeper with God. And I was like, bam. I needed to hear that. And it's just, when you really think about it, it's simple, but we don't think like that. Mm-hmm. You know, we think, we bring something to God, we don't get an answer. All right, whatever, I'm done. Did that once, didn't work. Mm-hmm. We're not persistent.
Yeah.
You know, it's America. We want it now. You know, it's my money and I need it now.
Yeah, yeah, that's right.
This message is paid for by J.G. Wentworth. No. But really, though, I mean, in Western culture today, too, it's just like we don't want to wait. We don't want to put in the work. We don't want to be patient. We want it on our time.
Because
our timing is not God's timing. And God's timing is not our timing.
Amen.
And it could be whatever you're going through in life. It could be if you're praying about finances, if you're praying about relationships, if you're praying about getting through addictions in your own life, if you're praying for healing for somebody. It could be anything that you're praying for. If you don't see, you know, the fruit or the result right away, that doesn't mean you just stop. And that doesn't mean that God isn't who he said he is. It just means that God wants you to continue and continue and continue and continue to seek him in those places.
Yeah.
And breakthrough only comes through persistence. You know, if there's a wall in front of you, you take one swing at it, it doesn't fall down, well, you're done. No, you got to keep hammering away at it. You got to keep going and keep going and keep going. They marched around the walls of Jericho 7 times and then shouted as loud as they could, and then the walls fell down. They didn't march around it once and went, well, that was a waste of a day.
Mm-hmm.
We're doing this, okay, we're doing this again, you know. And the second time, they're like, really? Come on. 7 times they did it. 7 times. But really, just whatever you're going through in prayer, if you don't get an answer right away, that doesn't mean God is not listening. It does not mean that. It does not mean that God is not faithful. It does not mean that he isn't who he says he is. And it doesn't mean that he doesn't care about your prayer life, that he doesn't care about your issues, that he doesn't care about your problems. He does care. He just wants you to continue to press in and seek after him. The last thing I wanted to touch on is actually, it's going to be kind of hard for me not to convey this, but this is the third year that we've gotten asked to come back and provide the worship, and every year I'm still blown away that we get asked to come back. And it's not like a sense of false humility, because, you know, like we've, you know, been to churches, and it's like, you know, there are churches that are, their worship teams are, you know, more talented or more gifted or whatever, however you want to put it. I just don't, I've never seen myself as like this, you know, I'm awesome, and I definitely know it. It's like, good job. I know I did a good job. You didn't have to tell me. I'm not like that. I'm always like, I'm not even like that good. Like, and it's like kind of a false humility thing, but I just want to like not have that pride in me, you know, because especially being a musician, there's people that they might be great musicians, but they have a terrible attitude. You don't want to be around them. Mm-hmm. I'd rather have an okay musician play with me that has a good heart and a good attitude than a really good one that's just a crab all the time. Amen. And full of himself.
Amen.
And Amen. And none of us are like that. We're you know, every practice we went through, we're like, we are not doing this for us. We're not doing it for anybody else but the Holy Spirit and Jesus and God and what he wants to do at that conference.
Amen. Amen.
And time after time, people will come up to us, not just me, but, you know, other people in the worship team. It's like, man, you guys are really gifted. You're really going with the Holy Spirit. Like, you guys are amazing. This is exactly what I needed. And, you know, the devil kind of wants to be like, yeah, that guy really thinks you're awesome. It's like, I mean, even if he thinks that, that's not what I'm going to think. And I remember Pastor Steve and I were sitting in our hotel afterwards, and just like, I was like, it's kind of uncomfortable for me having all these people say that we're good, and I'm just like, but I'm not good. I don't think I'm that good. And then Pastor Steve said, if you live by the compliments, you die by the criticisms. And I was like, well, what does that mean? He's like, well, if all you seek out is for people to tell you how good you are, then the first time someone says that you're not good, it's going to wreck your world. And you're going to be consumed and like just like, why doesn't that one person like me? What am I doing wrong? And you're going to get obsessed, and you're going to get just everything about you is going to change. And I'm like, that is exactly what I cannot do.
Amen.
Cannot live by the praise of man. Cannot live by what somebody else thinks of me. Don't let somebody else's view of you impact your view of yourself.
Yeah.
You know, how you view yourself is up to you and up to the Lord. It's not up to, you know, someone's like, he was too loud, or that wasn't really my style, whatever. It's like, well, you know what? I know who I am in Jesus.
Amen.
I know who I am in the Holy Spirit. I know that I'm affirmed as a son. I know that I'm affirmed as a faithful servant in the Lord, and the way I want to see me, the way God sees me. And I pray that Amen. Other people would see themselves how God sees them.
Amen.
It's perfect, made holy, and made righteous, and exactly how he needs them to be.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jason.
Hey, everybody. I'm Paul Freilich, and I love you all.
Amen.
I went into this conference. Thanks. I went to this conference knowing I needed a new sense of direction. I've just, you know, work's been busy, and I've just not been as involved as I would like to be. And with that kind of comes like, if you're not careful, you kind of deteriorate in your motives when you're trying to read the word every day and pray and worship. It becomes more about like, how much time am I putting in, and am I checking off these boxes? And I knew that I wasn't as full of life as I wanted to be when coworkers would ask me about Christ. I'd give them an answer, but I just didn't feel like it was flowing. And I knew something needed to change. I knew I needed to step it up in some way. And so I was pressing in for direction. And every one of the speakers, the theme was running the race to win. And it's just amazing the organization of how they chose what speakers and what topics, but then the way that the Holy Spirit just tied it all together and made it really a whole wonderful message throughout the conference. Things that stood out to me were like staying in your lane, like you can't veer to the right or to the left, know what your responsibilities are and stick to them. One thing that was just really powerful and convicting, the Southern pastor named Mervyn Strother, he said, take the long look at your actions, what's going to happen at the end of them, Because if I don't make it at the end of the race, I'm going to crash and burn. And he said, just consider the legacy that you're leaving behind. Consider leaders and men of God who have, you know, fallen to affairs or just backslidden in different ways. And, like look at the men of God who are leading this conference and how much is riding on their shoulders and how much would be affected if they crashed and burned. So it's just, you know, I'm relatively young, relatively new Christian, you know, compared to a lot of these guys, and I just want to recommit every day to think about, like, what are my actions today doing in the long run? Am I growing the kingdom of God? And the other thing is, you know, Pastor Steve's talking last week, and it's just clear the spiritual climate of the nation that we really need to be focused and on point and together. So I knew that God was going to speak to us as a group about that and really impart some stuff. So I just feel so encouraged. You know, running the race to win, you got to have your eyes on the prize because your feet will follow where you have your eyes.
That's right.
And then when I'm pressing in my time every morning and throughout the day, my goal is just going to be to really know and honor Jesus. What am I going to do to advance your kingdom today? Yeah. Not just like the thing that I slip into and we all slip into sometimes of well, read the word a little bit, make coffee, go to work. Yeah. You know. So I just want to take some time. And then the other big thing, of course, is we have to be connected with our brothers and sisters to stay in this race. We can't do it on our own. We all have blind spots, and our blind spots are other people's focal points. So I'm just recommitting to meeting with my spiritual father, Paul Karen, and all my brothers and stuff regularly, and committing to asking questions and involved, being more involved in different ways. So it's really good.
Amen. Amen.
Hey, everybody, I'm Ryan. Hi. I just kind of reflection that this is my third year going to Band of Brothers. And this year was a kind of a different experience from my experience last year. So last year I felt like God was just focusing in. I think we watched a video, maybe in a Bible study with the chisel, you know, and God like chiseling away, like you are a perfectly formed piece of art, but you're still like a block of marble, right? And God chisels at you in different parts of your life to make him the perfect representation of what he has planned for you, right? And so those chisels really hurt, but they're good, and they are forming you into a beautiful, you know, masterful work of art in God's name. So last year, I clearly felt conviction, right? And these are the areas that God's working in your life to chisel and prove, you know, your path towards him, like reading the Bible every day, getting in the Word, and, you know, spending time dedicated to pray for him and with him and pray for others and just, you know. So last year, it was that, right? It was conviction. And here's where you need to improve. And this year, like these guys were saying, it's the theme was run to win, and a common underlying theme was be connected and don't go alone. And if you're running a race, especially in our life, and Tony's message was kind of about this, there are many stumbling blocks in life. You know, things that you get sidetracked on, hobbies, spending your finances on those, or relationships that are not godly, or, you know, interests that have nothing to do with the kingdom. And any one of those, you can start to veer off track, right? And what is it? Was it trig? I never took trig, Tony. But right? But if you have, you want to go straight. But if you start at any point 1 degree to the right or 1 degree to the left or, you know, down the road, you're going to end off way off target, right? And then the message was we each have unique gifts and talents, what I took away. We each have gifts and talents and giftings that, you know, are here to glorify the kingdom and to be used in your life for God's plan. But we also have blind spots. And I know I have blind spots. Things that, you know, in my past experiences, things I don't know about, things maybe I think I know are the right answer, but I have no idea what I'm thinking and talking about. And if I try to run the race and stay on target all by myself, I'm going to start to rely on just myself, and I am imperfect, right? And so if I only rely on myself, I'm going to start to go a couple degrees to the right and just keep on going because I think it's everything's just fine. I think I know what's right. That's why I need other people with me, right? To say, hey, you know what? This thing in your life right now, it's in the light, and I see it. You don't see it. How about you shift back a couple degrees, and we can talk about it, and let's meet next week and see how you're doing shifting back, right? So talking about invisible, it was Eric, Pastor Eric from Buffalo, talk about invisible barriers, and what are those, how is God pushing you to the next step and challenging you? And I feel like I'm kind of a extrovert introvert, so when I feel good about my circle of friends, like I'll super engage with them, and I know in my circle of friends who to relate to and who to go to, but if I don't have something in common, even intergenerationally, sometimes I won't reach out, and I need that connection. So that's something I need in my life. So I'm just showing an invitation here, and maybe it's a request. I want to connect with men that can see my blind spots, in a biblical way, and so I'm, and I want to be able to be used in that way. So if you're feeling like you're running alone, or you're feeling like you don't have that connection, I want to be that person, and I'm also looking for that person.
Amen. So, awesome.
Hello. First off, I just want to apologize. I'm kind of sick, so I bet I sound ridiculous in this thing. So we'll get that out the way. But I want to follow what Jordan did and tell a joke. But I can't do that because the best joke I heard Ross told me, and I'm not going to tell that joke up here. We're just not doing that. It is. That's a good joke, though. I'm stealing that. So I am not somebody who expects much in general in my life. I just don't do it. It's like I'll go to a Jason Statham movie expecting it to suck, and afterwards I'm like, this guy's kind of a good actor, you know, but he's not. He's terrible. And that's kind of how I went into this conference. I was expecting it to kind of suck. I just didn't have my expectations very high, but I was wrong. It was amazing. God spoke to me. God healed me. He did so much more than I could have hoped. And I want to talk about what he did. For the most part, it was just good to be around men of God who are like genuine and like they are really serious about this. I was just amazed by the quality of person I was around. Even with these guys are great too, but like, you know, the guys at the conference, they were great. There was just so much quality, and it was amazing to be surrounded by just that much, just high-tier people. These guys are great. But, you know, I was noticing throughout the conference that, like, the underlying theme was these, you know, lines that we have to get over. And I was like, I'm over a lot of lines in my life. I'm good, is what I was thinking. But I was noticing that I just wasn't there yet. I wasn't all the way. There are lines I'm over, but I'm not over all of them. And then Mike Free goes in on unforgiveness. And it's like, I'm busy. I don't have time to have unforgiveness. It's like, I had an expired driver's license for 4 months because I never could make it to the DMV. I was just too busy. So it's like, I don't even have enough time to deal with these things in my life where I've been hurt and maybe have some unforgiveness in my life. There are things that I've been dealing with that maybe 1 minute out of a whole month I get time to actually experience the hurt that I felt. But when he was switching gears into an altar call to receive, you know, freedom and healing for these, you know, offenses and to set these people free from what they've done to me, I just felt God just like stand me up all together. And it's like I didn't even like pay attention to anyone around me. I was just like ready for God to set me free. And he was like, this is exactly what I brought you here for. But, amen. You know, it's like maybe for 1 minute out of the month, I dealt with the pain of these things that I've been through that I've, you know, been offended about. But since then, every minute of my day, I've felt the freedom from those offenses. And I just feel like God wants us, maybe we are good. And Ryan was talking about it. It's like we can be 1 degree off and we're good. But God wants us to be laser focused and deal with the real issues that we have in our life that maybe we're too busy to actually experience the hurt, but you won't understand how to deal with the freedom until you get there. And let me tell you what, it is fantastic to be healed. It is fantastic to be free. You don't understand how much better it is to be free. So, you know, regardless of what you're dealing with in your life, I just think that God wants to set you free. You know, God wants to heal you. And you might be really good. You might have things together. But there's a difference between being one degree off and being laser focused on where you're going. So.
Amen.
How you doing, guys?
Good.
That's good.
So the biggest thing I took away from this conference, one of the pastors there was named his Eric Johns, Pastor Eric Johns from New York, and he talked about kind of, you know, everyone was talking about crossing the finish line and finishing strong, but he talked about crossing the line, stepping out in faith, and doing something, you know, that's just so arbitrary to how you think. Like, you know, you cross the line, you think, oh, I don't have enough money to do this, I don't have this, I don't have that, and the Holy Spirit just comes and provides everything. And as I was standing there listening to everybody's testimonies, I felt the Holy Spirit just kind of push me to cross this line. And so, this is really hard. So the reason I came home from Thailand so early is I failed huge, and I won't go into all the details. But after I failed, I came to the realization that I could not continue this mission doing what I had done. And so I contacted Pastor Steve, I contacted Pastor Ron, Pastor Dick, just everyone who was involved in supporting me. And I told them what had happened. And they lovingly and non-judgingly brought me home. And I came home broken and destroyed to a family that loved me to life. And I went through months until this conference, just broken and at the very bottom of rock bottom. And Jordan said he was struggling with suicide. I almost went through the same thing until one of my roommates was sick and just decided to be home that day. And so when I got to this conference and the worship started, I could feel the presence of God like I'd never felt him before. I could feel the calling of God on my life saying, I am not done with you.
Yeah, yeah.
I still have more.
Yeah.
And one thing Pastor Doug said to me, I went up for ministry time, and I just told him everything. He was one of my teachers during Bible school, so he knows me pretty well. And he said to me that you failed trying on the front lines out there, fighting for the kingdom of heaven, and God's going to put you right back out there. Just get up.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so right there, my fire for missions was reignited. My fire to love people was reignited. Yeah. And I went up to Dr. Ron, and all he said to me was, take off that blanket of shame that you've been unknowingly holding on to yourself.
Yeah.
And God said to me loudly, take hold of that sonship that's right in front of you that you let go of. Just take hold of it. And so I grabbed it, and I took hold of it, and I felt this freedom, this healing, and this weightlessness. Just all of these things fall off. And now I feel normal again.
Wow. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
And so I just want to thank you, Pastor Steve, for being my now father. Because my father passed away about 5 years ago. So there's three men in my life, Pastor Steve and Pastor Dick Bastian, Pastor Ron Johnson, and they all affirmed me in one way or another and just told me to get up. And so if you've let go of something, if you've let go of your sonship, your daughtership, for whatever reason, just know that it's still there right in front of you. Just take hold of it and grab it. Because God's not done with you either.
Huge. That was huge. Way to go. Way to go. I just want to say how big that is. And if there's someone in your life that, if there's failure, we all fall short. And our job is to build people up. And yes, you deal with the consequences. Consequences will come with failure in that way. But the Holy Spirit is so good. The Holy Spirit is so wise, and his timing is perfect. And that was an awesome act of God. That was powerful. And these, I mean, it's not done yet. Who's next? But these have all been powerful. You're next.
It's awesome to see men of God actually be vulnerable. And that was being vulnerable, brother. And it just raises the bar for all of us. As men of God, women of God, one thing I realized at this conference is God wants to do a mighty work, and he needs the soldiers all running together. Mm-hmm. Some of them can't be lagging behind. Some of them can't be running out ahead, but we have to do it together. And we all have to be running for the same focus and the same goal. And I appreciate, Pastor, and your leadership here and the leadership of all the others that do ministry in this church. God wants to use you at an accelerated pace. The time is short. That's one thing I really got out of the conference is there's not time to sit down and just wait for something to come up. He wants the men and women of the church to be in action. And that starts first, and I think it was Doug that mentioned, is if your ministry in the house or your family isn't good, don't be exporting that. Is what he said.
Yeah.
And that's the truth.
That's good.
We've got to start here within our church, within our families, and make a difference there. And God wants to see our hearts. And that's one thing I'm committed to, is like, I'm going to start in the house of my family, the house of the Lord, with the relationships we have. And we're going to dig in, and we're going to do things better, because God wants to use every one of you to the potential you don't even know yet. Into the supernatural. You know, it's hard to believe. We're in America. We don't see a lot of supernatural things. But he does have that power to use through his body to make a difference for the kingdom of God. And I was so grateful to see leadership that one believes it, wants to call it forth in the lives of the men that went, and then project that out into the community, into our congregation, and light a fire to where the gates of hell can't stand against the kingdom. And I was moved by many of the speakers. It's like, how do you go to the gold mine and pick out one that really touches your heart? It was everyone had a spirit of God in them that had a nugget that really touched my heart. There was one pastor, Frank. I used to pastor in Venezuela, but he suffered as an orphan in Venezuela. And he spoke on a message true from his heart about the difference of having an orphan spirit and having a spirit of a son. And I believe we've got the messages. I hope you listen to that one. It is a fantastic message of the difference of what it means to run like a son, to be accepted as a son, and move in the direction the Father moves, because you imitate the Father. And I was so moved by him that it just really hit me how many times even believers in the church suffer from different aspects of the orphan spirit. You may not have had a father, or you may have had a father, but you have different aspects of being an orphan. And what it gets down to is our identity in Christ. What is your identity? Who do you identify with? Who do you run after? Who do you look to be like? And I just pray that the Spirit of God will come into our church and really show you that you are a son, you are a daughter of the living God, and everything he has is at your disposal to carry forth the work of the kingdom. Amen.
Amen. Isaiah. Chavis.
I'm Isaiah. For those of you who don't know, I'm... Hello. It was my first time going, and I thought it was really powerful for me. Just along the lines of some of these men here, what they said, just for me, it was really just overcoming. I know one of you guys said it. One of the speakers gave a message about overcoming and stepping above those lines, and I felt led to find myself accountable with men of God, great men of God here, and pray with them. And that's what this Band of Brothers trip really does. It helps you become more accountable with other men of God, and that's what it really did for me, to step above the line and be with true men of God and just walk the walk with Christ. It just really did that mm-hmm. for me. I still have some lines that I really need to overcome with God, and I'm gonna keep doing that. Mm-hmm. And this is really just a recommitment for me, and I'm gonna continue to walk the walk with Christ and overcome some of those difficult steps and
hallelujah.
Overcome the line, not just finish the race, but like continuously. Run the race and overcome those struggles and pass the line that God wants you to do, whether that's, mm-hmm. Just different struggles that you went through.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I have.
Amen. Aiden.
Hi, church. I'm Aiden. And, hey, how's it going? So this is my third time going, and the first two times were not really hectic, but not as clear as I would like it, because there's so much, you hear all this, these awesome stories about what happens at these things, and you think, there's no way I can be able to preach about that. And so you are there, and you're like, man, I'm not getting anything, you know? But what really spoke to me, and I was like, I'm going to speak this year because I haven't, because exactly why is because I am always scared that I can't give a powerful enough speech about it. But what really spoke to me this year is when Ron Johnson, as always, calls us up to the altar, and I'm always like, maybe I'll do that, maybe not, but this year I was up there right away because I knew that I had to be saved and to take this shame and toss it off. And so usually I don't like to be talked to by people I hardly know. So I heard God saying, go to Steve. And I'm like, okay. So I go to Steve, and he gives me this powerful message about not having to worry about other people, you know, because I'm always like shadowed by my dad and Ray. They're such picture perfect men of God that I'm like, how can I ever be like them? Yeah, so anyway, I was, and Steve told me that God has a path for me that is unlike my dad's and Ray's, and it's also that no one has traveled that before. Mm-hmm. And it's gonna be mine and mine only.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just like, that's what I needed to hear. And so what I got from this conference was, I don't need to worry about being, I guess, overshadowed by other men of God, that I need to be on my own path, and then I can be with them and not shadowed by them.
Yeah, amen.
Hi, I'm Ryan, but most of you know me as a junior.
Hi, Junior.
Hello. Growing up, I had about 7 or 8, I was thinking I'm going over to my grandparents, Kevin and Kathy's, and they thought that too. It ended up, we were going there to stay. And that's a God thing, and I'm so glad that happened, because not having my mom and dad there, it was hard sometimes, but having Kevin, having Ray, having Pastor Stephen, countless other people helping me through that was amazing. And coming to Band of Brothers, you could feel the Holy Spirit in there. And from Pastor Frank, growing up in Venezuela, being an orphan, that really got to me, because I know how that feels like. Making friends was hard in schools because I had been moving so much. So I maybe made one friend in a school, but since living with Kevin and Kathy, I've been blessed so much. And I can't thank them enough for, it's amazing. And having blind spots was, I'm so young, I have so many. And knowing that I have all of these brothers with me to watch my back and all of my blind spots is amazing. And I can't ever thank them much.
Amen.
That's awesome. That's really what the conference, from the top down, from the leadership, not that the leadership is the top, that's the whole point. It was from side to side. No, it wasn't from the top down, it was from side to side. That's what God was doing, that's what the leadership wanted to instill and impart. It's like Jesus summed up the entire book of the law into love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, your mind, and your strength, and to love others as yourself. And that's what we were doing. We were looking to God and saying, Lord, you alone are worthy. You alone deserve all of my life. And then we were looking across and saying, and you deserve it too. And you deserve it too. And when we lay down our lives for the Lord and walk in the light of what he's doing, we are also laying our lives down for our brothers and sisters in Christ. And I want to honor the worship team. Thank you. I mean, can we just give them a hand for what they're doing? I know we were the only ones that went this year, but I just want to say the sacrifice that they put forth and the heart that they poured out, it was just a blessing, and they did it with selfless hearts. There's a lot of preparation and planning, and I was waiting to tell you guys that we got invited to do next year. We actually found out Wednesday before the conference even started, and I just didn't tell you guys. But I just want to honor them, because they really put forth the effort, and I was talking to one of them about how it really, you can see what they do matters to them, and how faithful he is with his craft, and it was just a picture about how when you're faithful to what God's put in your life, God will use that to bless other people. Mm-hmm. And when you take seriously what God's put in your life, and you invest in it, and you value it, I mean, because you look, it's like we have every single thing that's going on. It's like, Aiden, you are significant. You know, and God is showing you that you have a path and a purpose, and that's what that's about. It's like every single thing that's going on in all of our lives is completely different. Everything that's going on in your life is not the same as the person next to you. But it's significant, and it's what God is putting in your path. And if you be faithful with it, he will use that diligence, he will use that faithfulness to bear fruit that's exponentially greater than you could ever hope or think or even imagine. I mean, we practicing our guitars and our bass and our singing blessed 300 men this week. I mean, our little hobby and service blessed exponential amounts of people. And what you have in your life, you might see as small, you might see as little, but God is using it, and he's going to bless others exponentially. Because when you love the Lord and are faithful with what you've been given, mm-hmm. God will use you to love your brothers and your sisters as yourself. Mm-hmm. Amen.
Amen. Thank you.
Hi, my name's Ray. This was a really fun trip. It's always a good time. It's wonderful to be with so many men and just grind and just be men, act like men, and not have to worry about what somebody might think. This is a rich time. So, you know, as I was listening to you guys all speak, and it was all about passing the baton in the race. There was never any, you're running this race and you do your best, and that was a part of it, but it's about the baton. And I just want to, I'd be repeating what so many people said, but I just want to invite you as a person in this church to be part of that baton race. I look around this church, and there's so many. I could talk about at least 50 people in this room who've impacted my life in really significant ways, who've made a deposit in me, and it's really made me who I am. And I could look around and see other people that I made a deposit in them. And that's what makes Christianity rich, is we're supposed to be knit together in such a way that our lives impact each other. But we're in this light speed world where things happen so fast and we're so busy that we don't slow down and enjoy the relationships and allow God to do in us the things that he'd like to do sometimes. So I would just like to afresh and anew invite you to connect with somebody who can deposit in you on purpose. Mm-hmm. Many of these leaders and pastors would say, hey, when guys get together with me, they bring a list of questions. So I want to encourage you, there's probably things in your life that you'd like to grow. And maybe write down what some of those are and seek somebody out. If you're a young lady, find another lady in the church. If you're a young guy, find another guy in the church. Seek them out, ask questions, and act on that, and grow to the next level that you see God wanting you to grow in. Mm-hmm. And the person who is doing the teaching will enjoy it so much, and if it's a good relationship, it should be flowing back and forth, and both of you really enjoying and learning in the process. So that's one of the cornerstones of this church from the very beginning. There were people who were investing in the new people, but and giving them authority to do things, and then it's reciprocal. It flows back and forth, and it's so rich. So I just want to invite you in. That's what the river's always been about, and it's not changing. So bless
Amen.
You.
Amen. Amen. Yeah. Speak now.
Hi, I'm Ross, and after listening to these guys, I think I was kind of confused through much of the conference. They were talking about a silver-haired or white-haired generation. I didn't know what that was about.
Yeah.
And whether there'd ever be any hope for me, you know. But so anyway, when I got finally figured out what they were talking about, what they said is, there are people in our midst that have been walking with the Lord for 10, 15, 20, 25, 30, 35 years, and that everything that we do matters. I mean, I got the revelation that when I show up for church on Sunday morning, it matters to the younger ones mm-hmm. that see faithfulness and mm-hmm. they learn faithfulness. And I mean, everything that I would have said something about has been covered. I learned what a minor miracle is how you can get 26.2 gallons of gas into a 26-gallon tank, because we ran out of gas on the highway last night, and God hauled us over on 2/10 of fake gas to get to the gas station in the dark, so praise God. Wow. But the other thing I know, that's not the spiritual part. Well, it is spiritual, but anyway, we did have a great time, and it's awesome to connect. One thing that's becoming more and more evident to me is that the world is changing very fast. There's a spiritual battle of light and darkness. We have people that are on the wall watching what's going on, and we need to be involved and engaged. If you want to know what man is doing, you watch the TV. If you want to find out what God's doing, you come to church and you know, relate to the people on the wall. Good. And we are... Forrest Gump, I get a lot from Forrest Gump. Lieutenant Dan says to Forrest, he says, "Forrest, have you found Jesus yet?" And he said, "I didn't know I was supposed to be looking for him." But anyway, we are supposed to be looking for what God's doing. And God is leaving signs.
Somebody writing this down. Somebody.
Anyway, God's leaving signs everywhere. He's moving everywhere, and if you're looking for them, and if you're discouraged with what's going on in your life, but if you look for the signs, you'll find out that there's great reason for hope, and that if you look at what God's doing in the earth, this is an amazing generation to watch, because he's going to do great things, and he's preparing the church. We found out how he is going to come back for a purified church this weekend. Is he's preparing our hearts. And it's just amazing. God's mm-hmm. awesome, and he's about to do great things.
Amen. Amen.
Hello, I'm Joe. As some of you may know, a year ago, I was kind of in a real tough spot, and I remember the message last year talking about not giving up and keep pounding the ground, and this last year, for the last 6 to 9 months, I felt like some of my strength had returned to me, but I started trying to kind of do it on my own again, and so again, just keep pounding the ground. This year's message was, you know, setting new goals and new lines and refocusing. So, as many of these guys have talked about, so I just felt like this was kind of a recommitment and rededication for me to, you know, get back up and get on the right path, and really set they told us to write it down, some real stretch out your faith kind of line that you don't see in the natural accomplishing, whether it's related to finances, something that you need a supernatural encounter for, to be able to just stretch out your faith. And that's what I encourage all of you to do, is just stretch out your faith in something that can't be accomplished with, you know, your natural finances or mm-hmm. you know, in our own strength. So
mm-hmm. Amen. Thanks, Joe. Well, that was powerful, wonderful. And you got a taste of what God did, and it sure speaks to who these men are and what God is doing here. I could not be more proud of all you guys for taking the time, paying the price financially with your time, with your effort, and digging in and pressing into what God is speaking there. And this was